Hi, Matt.
All right. Hi, Keisha. Thank you very much for your time and for going through all this and for sitting down now. I really appreciate it. So I promise I'll make this quick.
No, you're fine. It's fine. I'm sorry I had to go through the loop and the hassle. I just want to make sure we did it the right way and there wasn't anything breached.
Right. Absolutely. okay. Well, what I was wondering was, let's see, my list of questions. How many tours of duty have you been on? Where were you stationed, and what did you do?
I've been on 3 tours of duty, 2 to Iraq and 1 to Afghanistan. The recent one was to Afghanistan. I was stationed – are you talking about where I was stationed when I was downrange or currently?
I guess I just meant Iraq and Afghanistan. So that was pretty much what I was wondering is where you were deployed, basically.
So, about 36 months.
But
with all 3.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's about 36 months altogether for all 3 deployments.
Okay. All right. And what did you do at that time?
My first deployment, I was a gunner and a driver, and I worked in a detention facility. And then my second deployment, I worked as a lead custodian, for, evidence custodian for a detention facility as well. And I also ran convoys. I was a team leader. And then this last one, I worked as a cultural support team member.
As you said, cultural support leader? Is that what you said?
Cultural support team leader.
Okay, then support team leader. Okay, and you said you worked, it was a detention facility in Afghanistan?
Correct.
Okay.
And she, and just for clarification, she's her career field is a military police.
Okay. All right, thank you. And all right, and I was also wondering, because your mom had mentioned this, that you were part of a kind of a historic deployment at that time, and involving both men and women. And I believe your mom mentioned Army Rangers, so it had to do with Army Rangers or something comparable to that.
Yeah, she's not supposed to say that. That's not to be. We can't really talk about the that aspect of it. So if you could not please not put that in there. It's just my mom.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, okay.
You know how parents can be sometimes. They like to tout their children. You know their children, and so you know.
Oh, definitely.
The bottom line is, I mean, realistically, we really wanted to focus kind of on the honor that Keisha's getting to do. You know, being involved with the first dance.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. I was, you know, because I've already written the story, and kind of one of the themes that I was working with was, you know, just that it's a historical event, you know, and, you know, Keisha's dad being a social studies teacher, I mean, he's, she invited him to go, and he's going to be get to be a part of, you know, history, American history, and, you know, but then I just had a phrase in there like, you know, well, you know, this isn't the first time Keisha's been a part of something historical, and I thought at that point that maybe I would incorporate something like that along those lines, so that was the only reason why I asked, but if you all say not to include
that. Well, just not the Ranger, just not, like, describing that I was deployed with the Rangers. I mean, it could be said as, like, deployed in the aspect of like, women.
You know, the first women, like, if it was in the context of the first women involved in combat operational situations, that's really the main focus of the historical portion of the event, is the fact that she was involved in, you know, the first women who really saw combat.
Okay, yeah. That was it. So we don't have to get any more specific than that.
That would be perfect.
Yeah. Okay. So great. I'll just put that. You know, Keisha was involved in one of the first combat operational situations involving women.
Yeah, we're like the trailblazers for future women in combat operations. It's just who you go there with. Like those aren't things that can be released. But as far as, I mean, you can look CST up on the internet and see what it's about. Just not naming who you were deployed with.
Right. Okay. Definitely. Okay. And I guess maybe I'm not sure if you were told if you would be able to say whether or not yet, but if you know whether you'll be dancing with the president, vice president, or maybe both. I'm not sure if that's something you even know or would be able to discuss either, but that was something I was also wondering, is if at this point if you had heard anything yet.
There's a possibility that it'll be both. I mean, it will definitely be one or the other. So I'll definitely be dancing with the president and the vice president. As to who exactly, they haven't really released that information yet. It's still up in the air.
Okay.
Like I said, it's for service. It's every person is representing the branch of the military. So you've got your Marine, your Navy, your Air Force, and your Army. So, I mean, it's all four of us up here, all good soldiers. So really, whoever it goes down to, it's not really going to matter. I mean, we're all excited to just be a part of it. And, I mean, dancing with number one and number two guys is good enough for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then my last question is just kind of your general, like, what was your reaction like once you were selected to attend the inaugural ball? And I guess, would you say, are you kind of nervous about going, or are you excited about going, or I guess, how would you describe the feeling?
I was definitely, throughout the process, I was definitely, it was unreal, and then once they told me that I was definitely a nominee, I was ecstatic, and I think it really made me even happier when I talked to my father, who's going to be my date, and he was just overjoyed. It was, a proud moment for him as a father, as a parent, and then just to represent the Army in itself and be, how many women can honestly say that they get to dance with the President or the Vice President of the United States? So, I mean, it's just,
right. It's
of course, it's a little nerve-wracking, because you're going to be in front of a lot of people, but I think it's going to be a great opportunity, and I'm going to look back and be happy that I was nominated to do this and that I was able to participate in this event.
All right. Keisha, is there anything else you'd like to add for an article like this, or I guess anything else that you feel is important for the story, or maybe would want readers to know?
Do you have any quotes from my parents by any chance? I just want to make sure that my mom and dad didn't tell you anything, crazy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. All right.
I know my mother mentioned something about the process and how we were picked for this, and I just...
Right.
Something like that?
Yeah, no, I... whatever you all see fit, so I just appreciate your time. So,
yeah, but I know
something, it just...
Quote about,
I mean, I don't want to do anything to compromise.
Oh, no. The question, what she's wondering... And I mean, the selection process was a very static. It was submitted in a board style. The information was passed on along with photos and everything of each individual who was nominated, for the participation. What she's just kind of wondering if her mom said anything, like what her mom had said about the selection process. At this point, I mean, ultimately.
Oh yeah, no.
There's nothing.
No. I understand. I'm trying to to pull it up now. I'm going to I'm going to read back everything that she told me.
Yeah, because it's definitely. So. I mean, yeah, definitely. It's. I mean, it's not a. It's no great secret or anything about how they were selected.
We'll give you. We'll give you how it really went down.
Yeah.
Okay. That's. Yeah, primary source is definitely better. So, and I forgot what it was called. Sorry. Okay. There we go. All right. All right. So I have. So Keisha Dentino, 27 years old, great niece of Dan Henkel and Marlene Blair, selected to represent the U.S. Army at the Commander-in-Chief's Ball during the President's January 21st inaugural celebration. And here's a quote by your mother. She says, basically, it was a selection of all the armed forces, Navy, Marines, Army, Air Force, and they chose according to all their decorations and medals and based on what they achieved. They chose her to be one of the dancers with either the president or vice president. And she said also she has concluded two tours in Iraq and one in Afghanistan.
I mean, it's somewhat, my mom's sort of correct, but I just don't want to make it seem like I was the only one chosen. Like, I mean, the process basically was, you know, it came out saying, hey, we have this great opportunity for soldiers to dance with the President of the United States, the Vice President of the United States. You know, they asked the chain of command to pick soldiers they felt were good soldiers that would represent their units and their military branch of service. And once they compiled all that list, you submit a biography stating what you've done in your medals, your decorations, your awards, your history, what you've done in your military career, and you attended a board, and this board convened and they came in and they interviewed you and asked you questions, why you deserve to be here and a lot of different things, and then they got together and they picked per branch of the service who they wanted to represent the military that branch. So it was a lot of really great soldiers. And it wasn't just about awards. I think it was a lot about accomplishments, and then as an individual, how you acted when they asked you questions, like how you reacted, and you as a person, I think, in a whole essence of it, really.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll, So I guess maybe, what your mom said wasn't necessarily inaccurate, but I'll just, after that, expand on the information that you told me a little bit more about that selection process.
That worked.
Because I know, like you said, you don't want to seem like you were the only one picked.
Yeah, like I said, there's a lot of great soldiers that, are deployed that probably could have had this opportunity that weren't able to, so I don't want it to seem like... like I'm the best person ever. I know parents
right. Care
about their kids, so I don't want it to seem like, I'm the only person, but, there's a lot of good soldiers out there.
Okay. All right.
And the last thing is just to clarify, there's no other references to, like, any groups I've worked with or any names like that. That's more of my concern.
I'm sorry?
There's no references to, like, Rangers or Special Forces or anything like that in anywhere that my parents might have mentioned.
Oh, let me double check. All right, so... So I'll tell you what, I'm just going to read the whole thing, and then, if anything stands out, like, oh, well, that'll be a concern, we don't want, will that work? Will that be all right?
Hey, that's fine, thank you.
Okay, yeah. All right, so your dad, Greg, he was just talking about, how he found out and everything, and he said she was home over Christmas break and very casually mentioned that her sergeant major had recommended her for some type of, not even an award, but for something to do, as in something to attend, and we just let it go. It was just a very casual conversation, and then she called me, I guess it was a Friday, and she was very excited and said, "Daddy, I got it." And I said, "That's great. Got what?" And she said, "I got chosen." And then, let's see. He said that you were born in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, when he was a graduate assistant at Southeast Missouri State University. And you were born 30 miles away from Cape Girardeau in a town called Sykeston, because he said he couldn't afford the big hospital downtown at that time. And then he left Missouri and family headed south for Homestead, Florida, where your mom, he, and you, their newborn daughter, all right, so he talks about an assistant coach that he knew, and this is all just part of like a small world theme type thing. But then he says that you used to play soccer in high school, joined the U.S. Army right out of high school. And he said, "It was really neat for me. And I taught social studies for 25 years, adding that he'll get to see that history for himself and with the people that he loves most. And then he said, evidently, she's doing well through this selection process, and my daughter was allowed to bring a date, and she chose me to be your date. That's always a flattering thing. And then, yep, your mom actually did. Let's see. She says this last tour in Afghanistan was the first one that women were attached to the special forces, like Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, and she was a part of that."
No, she can't. That can't. None of that can be in there. I'm sorry.
Okay. What if could I just cut the quote off where she says if I cut the quote off early, this is what it would look like if any of it is allowed to be used, which would be, "This last tour in Afghanistan was the first one that women were attached to the special forces," Janet Dentino said, and then have the end quote be, "and she was a part of that." But just take out the specifics, like that where she says Navy SEALs and Army Rangers, just take that out. And
I think that would be fine.
Okay.
I'll run it up my chain. And if they say anything, I'll let you know. But I don't see a problem with it.
Okay. Yeah. And I guess when do you expect them to, or when do you expect to hear back from them with that?
You know what?
Would it be sometime today?
Yeah. You know what? Let's just go with that. I don't see a problem with it. I'll make the command decision here. Just that would be fine. I don't see there being an issue, because that's public, that's public knowledge. Anytime you research the topic, it says that. So I'm going to go ahead and say that it's fine.
If you actually were to Google like cultural support team, you would see like exactly it explains you work with the special forces. I mean, it's not
right.
Public knowledge. I mean, you can Google. CST is known now.
Right.
It's just certain aspects of it aren't really
common knowledge.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to say, go ahead and go, cut it off at Special Forces, and then, and she was a part of that. That's perfectly acceptable.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay.
That makes life easier for me and for you.
Right. Yeah.
No problem.
All right. And then, let's see, and then your dad says, this last tour she received the bronze medal, and that's going above the Call of Duty. Is that correct?
It's the Bronze Star Medal, and I wouldn't necessarily say it's going above the Call of Duty. It's a great award to have, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's like a heroic thing. It wasn't. That's not.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it is, if you could reference it as the Bronze Star Medal.
Bronze Star Medal.
That's the official name, and
Okay. So would you feel better, I guess, if if that above the Call of Duty stuff wasn't in there?
Yes, please. I don't.
Okay.
I was like out there, like, yeah, you know, slaying dragons and like rescuing people, and that's not, you know, I didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I was. I'm not a hero. I'm not hard or anything. I mean, it really, the Bronze Star Medal doesn't even really necessarily really need to be in there. I mean.
But you know, it's a good piece.
Okay.
It highlights,
okay,
your accomplishments,
okay,
and it's good. It's fine. You know, it definitely highlights her accomplishments, and it kind of shows a little bit about why she's deserving of this opportunity.
So, I like to understand.
Okay.
Yeah. So
and then
star is fine. You know, if you want to take out the part about going above and beyond the Call of Duty, that's really up to you. But I mean, definitely the fact that she's been awarded a Bronze Star, it definitely lends credence, as we would say, to her being selected. So yeah.
Okay. And then the second part of that quote is, your dad says, in reference to you, she's always, I guess I'll have to get rid of that, but he says, she's always been a tough girl. She went right out of high school into the military. She played soccer, and she came home one day and said, "Daddy, I got a recruiter coming over." And I said, "Great, from what school?" And she said, "No, from the Army."
That's fine. That's true. That's exactly what happened. He called, and he was so nice, I couldn't say no. So, you know, he came over, and that happened.
Sold, yeah.
I signed the dotted line, like, 2 days later. Yeah, it was my 11th grade. So I was in the debt program for a year before I joined the Army. I was one of those guys.
What's that?
It was a delayed enlistment program, basically. She enlisted her junior year of high school, but of course had to finish high school, and so she was in what we call a debt or a delayed enlistment program.
Okay.
So once she completed high school, then she would proceed to basic training.
Right. Okay. And Keisha, your dad said you were airborne air assault and have been in the Army for 8.5 years. I'm sorry, your mom said that. Is that true?
Yes, it's true.
Okay. And you were selected among 17 candidates, right, or Army soldiers, both male and female, to attend the inauguration based upon military achievement? Well, I guess we can revise that part.
I don't know the exact number.
I mean, it was more than 10, but I don't remember the exact amount of people.
Okay. Maybe just on the safe side, say more than 10? Or?
How do you want to word that? I mean, because there wasn't just 5 people, you know? But
right.
I don't know
right.
the exact number.
I mean, I would say, to be safe, since we don't really know the exact number, I would say maybe just selected, you know, from amongst her peers.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Just to be safe, because we don't know the exact number, and I wouldn't want to give you any inaccurate information. So I would say selected from amongst her peers. That would be safer.
Okay. And all right. She said that you were a gunner during your first 2 tours in Iraq. I'm sorry, that was what your dad said. So,
I was a gunner my first tour when I was a private. But then
I'm sorry.
When I was a sergeant, I was no longer a gunner. I was a team leader. That's when I did the detainee operation, the evidence, and then convoy escorts.
All right, so I have, first deployment. You were a gunner and a driver.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Afghanistan, worked in a detention facility. And then, wait a minute.
My second deployment, I was a team leader, and I worked in a detention facility with evidence. I handled the evidence for detainees, and then I worked as a convoy escort, so I ran convoys in and out of the base.
Okay. And so when you were in the when you were handling evidence in the detention facility, that was that in Iraq or Afghanistan?
Iraq. That was my second deployment.
Okay. All right. Second deployment in Iraq. Okay. And then when you were, let's see, on the Afghanistan deployment, that was when you worked, you said, as a team leader running, or you, is that when you ran convoys? Is that what you said?
No, I ran convoys in my second deployment, too.
Okay, that was still the second one.
Yeah,
okay.
My third deployment, I was the cultural support team member.
Okay.
Which is basically women are going out there to interact with the populace. It's really what you're doing as a female, that you're engaging other women.
Would you be able to comment on kind of what that was like?
Sure.
No, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, like, when you say, you like, in, like you mean, like, with women in Afghanistan?
Correct.
Is that what you mean? Okay.
You would engage with the local, like, women and children is really kind of, when you get into the culture aspects of places like Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, women are not allowed to talk to men. So what our job is as a CST is to go out there and engage the women and to kind of be a face for the United States Army or whatever branch. And as a woman, conversing with these women and talking to them, we find that it works a lot better. And it's also being culturally sensitive to, you know, the Afghans. So it's a very calming situation when you go out there and you have women engaging their women. It's respectful.
Okay. All right. and so other than that, I have... second inauguration of all that stuff. It's just basic details about it. Okay, I have another quote by your dad. He said, in reference to you, she likes the tough stuff. She looks like a girl, but she's not girly. I just prefer for her to be my little girl. And that was the last that's pretty much, I guess, going to be end quote.
That's fine. That's true.
Okay.
yeah, and I you know, I don't want you to think that, you know, we're trying to dictate what's in the story, cuz I mean, of course, you know, her family is going to tout her and speak highly of her and all that stuff, and you expect that. And even if she's embarrassed or whatever, look, a friend is saying about her. You know, our biggest thing, of course, you know, is from a security standpoint.
Safety and, yeah.
There was nothing
I understand
there like that, so.
Right. No, and you know, that's why I feel better just reading the whole thing, you know, just in case there's, if something doesn't seem like it might be a concern to me, then, you know, that you would hear and you might think, oh, well, actually, yeah, that would pose a problem for this reason or that. And then, you know, I would want to know that because, yeah, I mean, it's just an awesome opportunity, and I really appreciate your guys' time and everything to make this interview happen and to go through the procedure. So I guess I'd just say, if there's anything else you'd like to add or anything else you'd want to say or people to know reading this story, Keisha.
I mean, this has just been a great opportunity, and like I said, it's great to be a face for women out there in the United States Army, you know. Other than that, I mean, that's really, I mean, anyone can view this as a great opportunity. I don't think anyone would pass it up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, yeah, thank you very much for your time, Keisha, and thank you very much for, you know, facilitating this whole thing, and I don't know, everyone there your help with this. So I really appreciate it.
Hey, not a problem. And look, if you have any, you know, if you get anything else, and you have any additional questions, feel free to reach out to me, and I can get with Keisha, and we can run it down. Do you know when this is going to be out?
I believe this will be for tomorrow's paper.
Tomorrow's? Okay. Perfect. And you guys doing an online publication as well?
Yes, sir. It's HernandoToday.com.
Are you sending it to my parents? They're probably going to want
a copy.
What's that?
I know that.
Oh. Yeah, I can. If you'd like, I can definitely arrange that, or if I'm not sure if they have a preference whether to, you know, to read a, you know, to see it in the paper or online, if they
probably
if
the
they
paper
read that way.
Don't want to save it, or both if possible, but I know that
okay. They'd
be mad at me if I didn't ask you. They hated this. I mean, I know they're going to want it, you know.
Right.
Hey,
definitely.
As
okay,
most
yeah.
Would. No doubt about it.
Yeah. And I guess, should I just call them back and just figure out what would be the best address?
Sure.
If you could send it to them.
That would be great. Depends.
Yeah, definitely.
They want.
All right. Well, yeah, like I said, I really appreciate your time and patience, and congratulations on everything, and I hope it just, you know, goes smoothly and turns out to be a great evening. So.
Thank you, Matt. I really appreciate it, and thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thank you. So, take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.